Parents, here's a gift idea that doesn't require batteries, screens, or endless assembly on Christmas morning. It's called the Dadventures Deck, a deck of silly adventures and unexpected twists for you and your kids. Pull one card and suddenly you're on a superhero bike ride or turning the backyard into a treasure island. My daughter still talks about the memories we've made from this deck. I've only got about 20 of these decks left, and once they're gone, they're gone. So if you want a simple way to spark memories with your kids this holiday season, go to ringspodcast.com/deck. Again, that's ringspodcast.com/deck. Start making more epic memories with your children today. The Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim is in theaters today. And I just came back from the theater after taking my kids to go see the movie. Should you go see The War of the Rohirrim in the theater? My spoiler-free reaction and recommendation coming right up. I'm Aaron, your guide to wandering Middle-earth, and this is Lore of the Rings, where we wander the world and works of J.R.R. Tolkien. Now, the first thing I'll actually say is I didn't actually see the whole movie. That's because, as I mentioned before, I took my kids, and kids need to go to the bathroom, and they need to refill their drinks, and they spill their popcorn. So lesson number one is, if you plan on reviewing a movie, maybe don't take your kids the first time you see it. That said, there's probably about a few minutes in between. There's a couple different scenes where I didn't actually see, but I kind of get the gist of the story. And speaking of story, that's the first place I want to touch on. So when I reviewed the Rings of Power episodes, I reviewed the story, the dialogue, the characters, the visuals, the music, and lore faithfulness with the patented Lore of the Rings podcast, Five Wizard Staffs. So five is just absolutely amazing, and one wizard staff is, well, it's not. There's a lot of themes in this movie, and as I promised, this will be spoiler-free. So let's talk about the story. The story did feel very Tolkienian. It felt like we were right back in Middle-earth, right in the kingdom of Rohan. It's set 200 years before the events of the War of the Ring. The narrator at the beginning, played by Miranda Otto, makes that really, really clear that this is a different story before the War of the Ring. And there's a lot of those classic Tolkienian themes that you would expect in a movie such as this. There's clearly going to be battle, there's going to be some good versus evil type of battling, but this is a little bit of a complicated story. Tolkien is often criticized as having like absolute evil versus absolute good, and there's no shades of gray, there's no complication in his characters. Well, anybody who makes that argument clearly has not really engaged at all with the material of Tolkien's world. This story is a prime example of that. What we see is plenty of complicated characters who have various different motivations, and they make different choices, and then people react to those choices. And so there's a lot of complication here of what is good versus what is evil. But there does come a certain point where it's like, okay, that was an actually truly evil choice that was made just out of selfishness or vengeance. And so therefore, that person has crossed a line from, oh, I'm just reacting to something that happened to me versus, yeah, I am fully embracing sort of an evil type mentality. I'm breaking these things that we hold sacred into the territory of evil. Another Tolkienian theme is that there are some unexplained corners of Middle-earth. Gandalf told the Fellowship that there are nameless things in the deep places of Middle-earth, and we'll get to see a little bit of that. There's one particular scene. This is one of the good things of taking your kids to go see the movie with you. You get to see the moments that really like shock them. There's a scene where one of the, shall I say, nameless things of Middle-earth does something pretty cool. It was pretty fun to watch. But I just looked over at my son's faces and they were glued to the screen. And one of them was even like, whoa, it was a pretty cool scene. It was pretty awesome. But another major theme of this movie is certainly the ennobling of the marginalized. Tolkien actually spoke about that a lot in his letters about how that was one of the themes that he wrote about. And you can see that in all of the Hobbits. The Hobbits are basically ignored for various different reasons, but yet it is to the Hobbits that success comes and the good is able to finally overcome and win in the end. And so along that theme, the main character here is Hera, Helm's daughter. We've touched on this in previous episodes, but she did not actually get a name in the story from the appendix where this movie is based from. So they gave her a name, they gave her a character, and they certainly wanted to emphasize, like, we know there's not a lot of women-centric stories in Middle-earth and Lord of the Rings. By the way, anybody who says that is, I think, simplifying things way too much. I think there's actually a lot of really amazing women and feminine ideals in The Lord of the Rings. But in any case, this particular movie really takes that theme and runs with it. The ennobling of the marginalized and certainly putting a spotlight onto Hera and some of the things that she has to deal with in battle and in war and in leadership. So for story, out of the five wizard staffs, I'm going to give this a 4. I think it was a good story. I think it made sense. It was very consistent. There were a lot of things that worked well for me as a story. I'm not exactly bought into the idea of we have to show women being strong with the sword in order to have strong women. I think there's a lot of different ways that you could have strong feminine characters in a lot of different variety. They don't just have to be sword wielding. And I think Hera really does show a multifaceted, strong female character. Sure, there are some fights with the sword that you can see in the trailers and in the extended sneak peek, but she's more than that. And I really appreciated that. And they told a really good multifaceted character story and arc for Hera as a character. So 4 out of 5 for story. Let's go to dialogue. Dialogue, I was actually really impressed with this. There were several lines that were either directly lifted from the writing itself, or there were other lines that were said with a similar wording and cadence to how they were said in the Peter Jackson films. It was almost like the rhyme of a good song. When somebody would say a line and it felt familiar because we've seen the Peter Jackson films, and this film is directly tied to that. I guess Peter Jackson is connected as some sort of an executive producer. There's Philippa Boyens. And so there's a really strong connection between how the dialogue was written and delivered in the movies and how it was in this one as well. So there's even one particular spot where, I don't know if you do this when you're watching movies, maybe this is just a me weird thing, but there's a particular spot where you try to guess what the next line will be. And I guessed what the next line would be, and I thought it would be really amazing. And then the character actually said something else that was 10 times way better than what I came up with. That to me says, that's great, pretty good for dialogue. I'm not going to say it's exactly perfect. It's hard to get a perfect score, I would think, but out of dialogue, I'm going to give this a 4.5 out of 5 wizard staffs, for sure. Let's talk the characters. Okay, Hera was a great character, very multifaceted. Wolf, who is the main antagonist, he also is a multifaceted character, had a good story arc in and of himself, some character depth and growth, shall we say. Not necessarily growth in the way that we would want to espouse in our own lives, but he had some character growth. All of the characters were really good. Their motivations were clear. They were all very distinct. Something that was not very distinct, and this is common throughout all of Tolkien's Middle-earth, is that a lot of the names sound very, very similar. And that's something that my kids actually said to me, all their names sound the same, and it's hard to keep track of them. Well, yeah, it's true. And in fact, there were some points where I didn't even try to remember their names, but their characters were distinct and multifaceted enough that I could remember who they were and what they were doing. And there was more than just one dimension to them. So they showed some really good depth for the characters. It was fantastic. Speaking of characters, my daughter said, wow, how many arrows can people from Gondor and Rohan take before they go down? That's an excellent question. Boromir took a whole bunch, and there's a few scenes in War of the Rohirrim that along those same lines. But all in all, Hera was a great character, as I've mentioned before. She was my daughter's favorite character, so that's a good sign. For characters, I'd say a 5 for 5. I actually am going to give this a full 5 wizard staffs. I don't know if I've ever done that. No, I have done that. I have done that for music and visuals for Rings of Power before, but I don't think I have ever done that for characters before. For an on-screen adaptation of Tolkien, the characters, I'd say in this one, are 5 for 5. So, good work, War of the Rohirrim. Visuals. This is not a live-action film. It's not even what we would call an animated film. It is anime. The studio that did this, I can't remember their name, and I'm so sorry, I'm not up on my anime popular culture references and who the main game players are there, but I will say it looked beautiful. It was really fantastic, and it was really beautiful. I felt like I was watching fine art in motion, and it was really hard to look away because it was really fantastic. But it is anime, and you do have that style. So if that style is not really your thing, then maybe you could skip watching it in the theater. But if you do want to see it in all of its beauty, I think this was a movie that was intended to be seen on the big screen. So I would definitely highly recommend going in and seeing this, if nothing else, just for the beautiful shots. I'm going to say 4 out of 5 for the visuals there. And again, 4 only because I'm not a huge anime fan. Maybe that says more about me than it does the actual film, but 4 out of 5. Okay, music. Music for me. If you are a longtime listener of this show, you know that music always touches a special place in my heart. And in fact, just a couple of episodes ago, I did a very special breakdown and review of my thoughts on the song called The Rider and the lyrics from that that are new from this movie. And it was fantastic, really fantastic. Not a whole lot jumping out at me on the music here. It was fine and it was great. There was only really one moment where the music really stood out as something spectacular. And I think it really stood out because it mirrored, it might even be the same song that Eowyn sings in The Two Towers. I think it's in the extended edition only. I don't know if it's in the theatrical edition. But Eowyn sings a song for a funeral, and there is a similar funeral service, shall we say, in War of the Rohirrim. And that song is sung, and it really touched me. And so I'd say music was okay. It was fine. Nothing really terrible. But only really one thing that really stood out, so I'm going to say 4 out of 5 wizard staffs for the music. Lore faithfulness. The countdown is on. Holiday shopping season is officially here. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. I discovered their literary clock, which tells time using quotes from classic books. Thousands of options, one for every minute. It's clever, personal, and perfect for the book lover in your life. And because my family always breaks out board games during the holidays, I ordered a wooden code breaker game and a murder mystery jigsaw puzzle. Can't wait to solve that one together. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. When you shop, you're supporting small, independent artists and makers. And with every purchase, they donate $1 to a nonprofit partner. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/LOTRpod. That's uncommongoods.com/LOTRpod for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Parents, here's a gift idea that doesn't require batteries, screens, or endless assembly on Christmas morning. It's called the Dadventures Deck, a deck of silly adventures and unexpected twists for you and your kids. Pull one card, and suddenly you're on a superhero bike ride, or turning the backyard into a treasure island. My daughter still talks about the memories we've made from this deck. I've only got about 20 of these decks left, and once they're gone, they're gone. So if you want a simple way to spark memories with your kids this holiday season, go to ringspodcast.com/deck. Again, that's ringspodcast.com/deck. Start making more epic memories with your children today. Lore faithfulness. All right, there's a lot going on here, and I did do a little bit of research on this, and I'm still looking for the reference in which Rohan and the Haradrim and Olifants had some battle together before. I can't find that reference, but if you know where it is, send it to me. But again, this is just a reactions episode, not necessarily a full-on review and comparing the lore point by point. So off the top of my head, I'm going to say 4 out of 5 for faithfulness here. They do have several of the elements that you get in the appendix from this story. And also, it does expand out if you've seen the extended sneak peek. I guess this is a spoiler if you haven't, so skip ahead a few seconds. But if you've seen the sneak peek, we do know that there's a couple of orcs that are looking for rings. They say, what does Mordor want with rings? It's a really great scene. So lore faithfulness for this story is really, really good. But I'd also expand that out into what's happening in the wider story of Middle-earth with the rings. And there's some really cool connections that are going on there. So 4 out of 5 for lore faithfulness here. So if I've done my math correctly, overall score is a 4 out of 5 wizard staffs. Again, I thought it was pretty amazing. I thought it was good. I'm glad that I went and saw it in the theater. I'm glad that I had my kids with me, even though there were some slight distractions there. But seeing their reactions, hearing their reactions, experiencing that with them, and then seeing this movie in the theater, seeing those beautiful visuals on the big screen, I think was worth it for me. So should you go see The War of the Rohirrim? I would say yes, I think you should. I think you should go see it in the theater. But if there's a few things, if anime is not really your thing, maybe you could skip it and wait till it gets home. But I, for myself, am glad that I went. And when it comes out and it's available for purchase, this War of the Rohirrim movie will likely become part of my annual Lord of the Rings movie marathon tradition. So I look forward to that and seeing this movie for years to come. So that's it. That was my reaction to the War of the Rohirrim movie. If you would like a deeper lore dive or review, please let me know. Go visit ringspodcast.com and hit that contact form and just go ahead and let me know. Or better yet, go to ringspodcast.com, tap the gold bar on the right, send me a voicemail. I think that's all that I'll do for the War of the Rohirrim movie, unless I hear from you and many other listeners like you who would like a deeper dive into the lore and a deeper analysis of the story and some of the themes there. So if you'd like that, go send me a note or a voicemail at ringspodcast.com. Thank you to this episode's executive producer, The Old One. If you would like to support the Lord of the Rings podcast, visit ringspodcast.com/member. And thank you for wandering Middle-earth with me today. Parents, here's a gift idea that doesn't require batteries, screens, or endless assembly on Christmas morning. It's called the Dadventures Deck, a deck of silly adventures and unexpected twists for you and your kids. Pull one card and suddenly you're on a superhero bike ride, or turning the backyard into a treasure island. My daughter still talks about the memories we've made from this deck. I've only got about 20 of these decks left, and once they're gone, they're gone. So if you want a simple way to spark memories with your kids this holiday season, go to ringspodcast.com/deck. Again, that's ringspodcast.com/deck. Start making more epic memories with your children today.